The church takes a rather odd approach to Christmas, at least in its selection of lectionary readings and liturgy. Today the focus is on John the Baptist, the fiery preacher calling for repentance. His message sounds rather harsh and threatening. Not a lot of comfort and joy here. No one would really want John the Baptist to show up at their Christmas party. For one thing, his appearance was a sight for sore eyes. He wore rather unstylish clothing made of rough camel's hair. His unusual diet of locusts and wild honey would hardly have a place on our Christmas buffet tables. He lived in the wilderness, which suggests a kind of God-forsaken place. But the surprising thing is that people kept going out to see him and hear him, despite his appearance and harsh message. They kept going to him to confess their sins and to be baptized. His message was that God's kingdom was coming near, and he called the people to prepare, to make way of the Lord. To do that, they needed to repent. Even so, this wild man's message was not very friendly and inviting. One of John's favorite ways of addressing his congregation was to call them a brood of vipers. Now, is that any way to win friends and influence people? I think not. Or to get the seats of your church filled on Sunday morning. So, why did people keep coming to him? Did they walk for miles just to be entertained by his strange appearance and behavior, like people today flocking to see the theatrics of Lady Gaga in her outrageous outfits? I think it was more than that. Matthew tells us that people came from all over, even people who had no intention of getting their feet wet, ended up going home soaking wet with a changed heart, having confessed their sins. In one word, John the Baptist's message was repent. It's a word that we don't often use anymore. It means to change or to turn in a new direction. Most of the time we don't like to be told that we're going the wrong way or that we need to make a change in our lives. We like to be encouraged and affirmed. And even when we know that something is wrong, we like to think it's not our fault. 30 years ago, there was a renowned psychiatrist by the name of Carl Menninger who wrote a book entitled Whatever Became of Sin, from which I borrowed today's sermon title. Dr. Menninger observed that something had happened to sin. It was disappearing from our vocabulary, for one thing, leaving our culture without a word that describes the brokenness of our human condition. His contention was that because we lack a way to acknowledge our sinfulness, we have lost the ability to confess what separates us from God. It creates this hostility and conflict between one another. What we ended up doing was to blame someone or something for whatever wrong was in our lives or in the world. At the same time, Dr. Menninger observed that a great many people were walking around with a vague feeling of guilt and depression, which they didn't seem to be able to get rid of. In modern life, we tend to attribute human failure to psychological problems, or we blame our environment, or genetic factors. You can always come up with a good excuse or good reason for our bad behavior. Now, I do believe that psychology and sociology and biology all come into the picture. There are factors and influences that affect our lives for good or for bad. But we don't seem to have the concept or the vocabulary to talk about our spiritual brokenness, the things that separate us from God and from one another. We don't feel the need to confess our sins when we can blame someone else or something else. And we end up carrying around with us this burden of guilt that we just can't seem to get rid of. Blaming someone else or making excuses did not set us free. Only by the confession of our sins and our willingness to change our ways are we able to find peace with God and with each other. It's hard for us to admit guilt and to change our ways, that things are not right, and that we are somehow responsible. And yet, it is possible to face up to our failures and weaknesses and do something about them. How did it happen that in spite of John's harsh demeanor and message, people came in droves? Yes, maybe some people were just curious and intrigued by God, by John's strange ways, but maybe others were just fed up with the condition of their lives. Maybe they were sick of the hatred and hostility that went on between people. They were tired of the corruption and cheating that went on in society. They longed for peace and harmony with their neighbors. They were ready to face up to the gap between the way they were living and what they wanted life to be. Deep down, they had a longing to change their ways and live according to the values of God's kingdom. They were ready to repent and signify their confession by getting dunked under the waters of baptism. There's a story about a driver who was stopped at a traffic light. When the light turned green, the car ahead didn't move. So this driver blew her horn. Still the car ahead didn't move. So the driver blew her horn again, even more persistently. Still the car didn't move. The driver started pounding on the steering wheel and saying a few choice words that probably couldn't be heard outside the car, but were quite clear to anyone who could read lips. Finally, the first car moved on, but just as the light changed from yellow back to red, and the driver was stuck there until the light changed again. She continued to express her frustration by laying on her horn and cursing until she heard a knock on her side window. It was a police officer. Much to her dismay, she was ordered to get out of the car, which she did. She was handcuffed and taken to the police station and put in a holding cell while papers for her arrest were prepared. But then finally, she was escorted to the front desk where the arresting officer was waiting. "Lady," he said, "I'm very sorry. I'm so sorry, but when I pulled up behind you when you were blowing your horn and cursing, I noticed those bumper stickers on your car. One said, 'Jesus is Lord.' And another said, 'If the Bible says it, I believe it.' And another said, 'Follow me to Sunday school.' And I saw the Christian emblem of the fish on your trunk. So we were pretty sure you had stolen the car." At times there are gaps between who we think we are and the person we really are, or really deep down want to be. Pay attention to the gaps, says John the Baptist. Repent, change your ways, begin living a life that reflects more of the values of God's kingdom that is coming near. How do you do that? Well, in a word, repent. As I said, repent is not a word we hear every day, but it's a good word. It means to change. It indicates a change of mind or a change of direction in our lives. As someone said, no amount of exertion will ever help a runner who is in the wrong direction. To repent, we need to be faced the right way. Salvation is God's doing, but getting in position to receive it is our doing. I know that we often come to church to get an affirmation about our lives, to be encouraged. We try to give a warm, friendly welcome to everyone. We try to smile a lot. Our central message is that God loves us just as we are. We come to receive this comfort assurance that everything's okay. As someone said, if you want someone to tell you that you are okay, and that I'm okay, and that even if we're not okay, it's really okay, then John the Baptist is not for us. But if you yearn for a fresh start and want to make something better of your life, and want God to create in you a clean heart, then John the Baptist is just the one to help you. And it's not just a one-time kind of repentance. We need to keep coming, not to be rebaptized, but to remember our baptism and God's power to change us. There was a young man who went off to study at a university. It was really the first time he left home, and he rented a small apartment. The first time his parents came to visit him, they were worrying that he might not be a very good housekeeper. But when they came, they complimented him on how neat and tidy his apartment looked. And then he thanked them for their approval. But then he said, the trouble is that I get it all cleaned up, and 3 or 4 weeks later, I have to do it all over again. Life is messy. Over and over, we confess our sins, our mess, get it cleaned up, and then we have to do it all over again. We always need to stay vigilant. Otherwise, self-righteousness can take over. We forget Jesus' admonition to look at the beam in our own eye before we start finding fault with others. John the Baptist was most harsh with the leaders of the religious establishment who came out to be baptized in the Jordan River. And why? Because they claimed a kind of a special righteousness as descendants of Abraham, and as a result, they never saw the need to really repent, except in a kind of superficial way. During this past week, the world has grieved the death of an important world leader, Nelson Mandela. When by his courage and sacrifice, he was able to lead his nation of South Africa into a new era of justice and equality and peace. In the eyes of many, he was a saint. But he never accepted that title. He knew the pitfalls of self-righteousness. He redefined a saint as a sinner still trying. He admitted that going into prison, he had a hatred for his captors. But when he left prison after 27 years, he said that he needed to let that hatred and hostility go, otherwise he would still be a prisoner. He would never be free. And so he did, and he worked for reconciliation and peace. I have no way of knowing the nature of the mess you might have brought with you to church today, but we all come as we are. Maybe something happened long ago about which you're still ashamed. Maybe your burden has to do with what you wished you had done but did not do. Maybe something even happened this past week that you aren't proud of. I don't know the nature of your regret or your guilt or your human weakness or your sense that something separates you from God. But what I do know is that there is absolutely nothing about you or about me that is beyond God's capacity to change us. So don't be afraid of John the Baptist or his message of repentance, for therein lies the path to salvation. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can imagine or ask, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen.